The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The latest on the Brexit vote, and also sort of give a historical perspective on this, is Andrew Roberts, British historian, author of the new book, Napoleon, A Life, and he joins us live from London. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Roberts.
Hi. Can I just say, though, that although the British Parliament doesn't necessarily need to pass Brexit, that isn't necessarily constitutionally true of the Scottish one. That a lot of people here don't think that the Scottish Parliament does have the right to block Brexit if the British Parliament has gone ahead with it.
Oh, I see. All right, thank you for clarifying that. Well, tell us a little. It's amazing to me. How long has Great Britain actually been part of the European Union in its current state? Because by the reaction, you would think that this is, you know, overturning 300 years of relationship and economic trade. That's not the case. In the grand scheme of things, this has been a blip on the radar in Britain's history, isn't it?
Yes, in Britain's history, we've only been a member for 43 years since January 1973. But, I mean, historically, of course, we've also been trading with the continent for 1,000 years longer. So it's to be seen, I think, in the sort of wider historical context.
You have written that Brexit is a more impressive achievement than the French Revolution, and I'd like to know what you mean by that.
Well, it was done in the traditional British way of evolutionary change done by votes rather than chopping 40,000 people's heads off like the French Revolution did. Of course, we did have the very sad and tragic death of the Labour MP Joe Cox, but that was through the actions of a lunatic and a neo-Nazi and can't be seen as sort of part of the political process in the way that, of course, Robespierre killing 40,000 people during the French Revolution clearly was.
Let me ask you the question that a lot of Americans are saying. You know, they look at what happened. They said, "Hey, we're surprised by this." Many in the UK are surprised by this because the polls didn't suggest that this was going to be the outcome. What was the undercurrent that was going on that wasn't picked up by the polls?
Well, the polls seem to be getting it wrong a lot. They got the British general election of 2015. Very badly wrong as well. They said Labour was going to win it, and in fact the Conservatives won it. So it was possibly either people just don't care about telling the truth to pollsters, or pollsters are getting it wrong in the weighting that they give to various people, whether it's online or telephone polling. But whatever it is, it does not actually seem to be a very sensible or useful way to predict political outcomes.
So you talk about how Great Britain has been trading with their European partners for 1,000 years, and that's, you know, something to digest for a moment. When people talk about the negative ramifications of the Brexit vote, are they focusing on some concern that this is going to affect Great Britain's economy because it's going to be so difficult or expensive to trade with Europe? Or is there bigger concern that the European Union is going to have trouble getting the economic support and great influence that they had been getting from the British government?
It's both, really. You're right, of course, that because Britain is the second largest economy after Germany in the European Union, our exit could be bad news for the European Union. But if sort of sensible counsels prevail, as I believe they will ultimately, and people can calm down a bit, which they're certainly not at the moment, we'll be able to realize that the only way to guarantee prosperity for everybody is to allow the trading to continue in the same way that it did, and not to have Britain punished by Brussels for having had the temerity to take back our sovereignty and self-governance.
That's kind of my point here. The follow-up question to that is, I mean, I'm guessing Great Britain still wants to trade with all of their partners in the European Union, and they have every intention to do so. Is there any real economic or historical reason why these nations should choose not to or should choose to increase tariffs from Great Britain solely because they're not a part of the European Union, or is it just a punishment?
It's a punishment because they don't, because Brussels doesn't want to have other nations leave the European Union. So it has to be seen to be meting out condign punishment to the United Kingdom for having left the organisation. But there's absolutely no economic or financial reason whatsoever why they shouldn't want to continue. Not least because they make $87 billion. Dollars more out of us every year than we make out of them.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so we keep hearing that maybe this is not over, that there might be another referendum and then another referendum.
No, that's completely absurd.
Okay.
Yes, you're right that there's been a huge petition by the losers against the winners saying that there should be another go at it and that the rules ought to be slightly different. I'm afraid this is very un-British. It's bad loser mentality, and it's a little bit like we've got a great football tournament on at the moment, the Euro 2016.
Yes, right.
It's a bit like after England loses to try to petition to have it not done on goals scored but on some other kind of criterion. You know, everybody knew what the rules of the referendum were, and so it's ridiculous to try and run another one just because they don't like the outcome of the first.
And this thing that it's non-binding. Is it really possible that this thing, even though it's the will of the people, will not come to pass?
Well, the majority of members of Parliament don't support Brexit. It's only supported by quite a small minority of MPs in Parliament. And so theoretically, it would be possible for these elected politicians to actually say, we don't care about the will of the people, we don't care about this referendum, we're going to go and put our own views before that of 17.4 million Britons. But I simply can't see that happening. It would be flying in the face of democracy in such a gross way that I think these people would be drummed out of their constituencies at the next general election if they tried it.
All right, Andrew. And no worry about being sent to the back of the queue by Barack Obama, I'm sure.
There is a worry. There's a very serious worry. We desperately need to make trade deals with organizations and countries, India and China, of course, and other examples, as soon as possible, because the EU was never able to with 28
yes.
members. And we don't want President Obama to shove us to the back of the queue in America.
Well, he's only got a few more months left, Andrew Roberts, so join us in counting those days. Andrew Roberts, British historian, author of the new book.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks,
good stuff.
Napoleon, A Life is the book, and check it out.